We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chain. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away.
Derek and George live show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Road Less Traveled Internet Ministry. It is Thursday, June 25th.
June 25th.
June 25th.
That the month is flying by. We've already had the longest day of the year for sunshine.
I know. And now the days are getting shorter.
Yeah.
That must make you sad.
It does.
It probably does.
I love the sunshine, mate.
Yes, you can reach us at DerekandGeorge@gmail.com. If you want to, you can also find us on our Facebook, or not our Facebook, our webpage at DerekandGeorge.com. You can also find us on our Facebook and our Twitter page. Just type in Derek and George, DerekandGeorge. New little thing that Jimbo's been putting in since our weather has been so flaky late. Boy, it rained last night.
Yeah.
It did.
Came down pretty hard.
It did come down pretty hard. We got a little bit of a La Junta weather here. 67 degrees right now here in La Junta, Colorado. The high for today is going to be 97 degrees.
Oh, a little cooler today.
Friday, tomorrow, going to go down to 70.
High in the high 70s. Oh, that'll
be sweet tomorrow. 90s rest of the week. I think Jimbo said before we went on air, though, 73% humidity. Is that what it was, Jimbo? 73%? Yep, 73% humidity.
Today?
Right now.
Oh.
Right now. I don't know if it's going to stay that way as it gets hotter and hotter, but it's almost turning into like Indiana. It's
back home again
in Indiana. Yes, you are listening to the Derek and George live show every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time. We're going to get into the birthdays really quick. Okay, and we got a new song.
Thank you, Jimbo.
Pull that up and put that on the board
Thank
for you.
Much.
For those of you who may not ever listen to Derek and George, this may be the first time that you've ever listened to us.
Oh, that would be so sad.
That would be so sad. Big G, what he does is he's kind of like the carnival barker. We give him the people's birthdays today, and then he tries to guess how old they are or how old they were when they died. So, and it's been this ongoing thing with Jimbo and our producer and George. You seem to be splitting.
Come on, Jim, bring it on!
Once in a while. So, I
think he's been getting the best of me lately,
yes,
baby,
yes.
And I don't like it.
I think you're going to know this first person.
Okay.
You will obviously know this first person. June Lockhart.
Oh, Timmy's mom on Lassie.
Exactly. And June Lockhart is still alive. Today is her birthday. We've got another picture of her, and that's more indicative of what she is right now. So do your mental math, because that's what Big G does. He puts it into context, if he knows the person, puts it into context, and tries to figure out exactly how old.
This one's tough because Lassie was an early show, and I'm trying to.
Yeah,
I don't have a good perspective of how old she was, but she is his mother. So I'm going to go 92 years old.
We also want to add in plus or minus two. Jimbo's upset. It is 90 years old. You got
woo-hoo!
It.
Got it, daughter!
We give Big G plus or minus two on either ones. This next person you're going to know, it may throw it off a little bit. Sonia Sotomayor from the United States Supreme Court. Today is Associate Justice Sotomayor's birthday. How old is Sonia Sotomayor? It's a tough one. It really is.
It says I did not pay attention at her confirmation stuff. I really don't know much about her.
How old do you think she is? Plus or minus two. It is her birthday 64. Today.
64.
Oh, you just missed it. It's 61.
Ah!
61. Good guess, though. Good guess. Now, I don't know if you're going to know this next one. I'm not even sure if I'm going to pronounce it right, but it's Anthony Bourdain. He's on CNN, and he does the – or maybe the Travel Channel, excuse me. Either one I've seen him. He does the traveling – he does the food things and everything. But just looking at it, that's a very good picture right there. Just as a carnival barker, if Anthony Bourdain was to come up to you, how old do you think he is on this day, June 25th, 2015?
61.
Plus or minus two, you got it.
Woo!
59. Anthony Bourdain is 59 years old. That's two for you, one for Jimbo. And finally,
boom! I don't even know that guy.
Throw in Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, Dikembe Mutombo.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Mutombo. Who did he?
Houston Rockets. He played for the Houston Rockets and probably played for the Houston Rockets. Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Probably into the late 80s, early 90s.
Was he always with them? He didn't start out with.
You know, he played for the Nuggets for a while.
Well, okay, he was with Denver for a while.
Played for the Nuggets for a while. He made his way around, obviously not in basketball anymore. But Dikembe Mutombo, today is his birthday. How old is Dikembe Mutombo?
Well, I could be off on when he played. So I'm going to make a guess of 47 years old.
By golly, look at Jimbo. He's all upset. 49 years old.
All right, baby! Woo! Raising the roof!
Three for G, one for Jimbo. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. You did a great job.
Well, I was trying to think back. I was thinking mid-90s for him, how old he would have been then. And
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. That's how we do Derek and George's happy birthdays. G got him today. As always, we started this not too long ago, but I always like to update it. George doesn't like it that much, but we always bring to you an end of an error. You can find that on DerekandGeorge.com. It'll keep it up to the very second, January 20th, 2017, when an end of an error actually comes to an end. I know.
Sadly, it's probably just going to be the start of another error.
576 days we have left.
Mm-hmm.
576 days until January 20th, 2017, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when a new president will be sworn in. We have no idea who that is going to be, but I don't know. Did you put some water? It's not going to be President Obama. So you can keep track of that if you're a person who likes to know to the second. And you can go to DerekandGeorge.com, scroll down there to the end of an error. Wanted to bring up a couple of things before we bring up the news. It's kind of got me a little bit upset. And it has to do with your Denver Broncos. But not in a real sense.
Why is this Colt cut by me?
Because I always put it over there for your mojo. You don't. Okay, we'll move that one, and then we'll put this.
No.
Okay. I don't have any Denver Broncos stuff. For those of you who'll be watching on YouTube, you can see all of the cold stuff we've got flying around all over the place. I have my cold hat on today. I'm very upset with the Denver Broncos, although it has nothing to do with the team on the field.
Okay. What are you upset about?
I told you, and I don't remember if I told you on air or if I mentioned it to you or not. So for those of you who know, my son-in-law is a huge Green Bay Packer
fan. Right.
And the Green Bay Packers are coming.
Right.
To Denver.
Right.
And so my daughter
wanted to get tickets. Sure.
Yeah. Went online. It's everywhere. Tickets, StubHub, everything.
Right.
Top row of Sports Authority Field. I'm talking like top row. $400 a piece. That's insane. With tax, two tickets going to run you almost $1,000 to go see Denver play Green Bay. I understand at this particular time. But still, at this particular time, and that's
right. Somebody's jacking the price up, really.
Everybody's jacking the price up because we literally went. I mean, we searched every place you could find. I mean, in the cracks, in the crannies to find a ticket. Right now, about $400 a piece for upper deck, almost last row on the top.
Well, yeah, but that's not the Bronco price.
No, the Bronco price is much more.
No, I mean that.
Oh, I'm not.
If you're to be able to buy a Denver Bronco ticket right from the Broncos somehow, it's not that cost, right? That's a
that's
a markup cost, isn't it?
Oh,
from
no.
Some vendor?
Absolutely. Go to the Denver Broncos site.
Serious.
And I understand that it's right now. I'm sure that as we get closer and closer to November 1st, they're going to start coming down. But if you wanted to buy them and wanted to make sure that you got a ticket, that's not the price for an Oakland Raider ticket. That's not the price for...
Do they charge for those?
No, they're giving those away for free.
I was
going
to say, I thought they handed those out.
The fifth caller gets like 4,000 tickets. I was on all of those things, TickPick, StubHub, all of those. I did notice that there was a luxury suite possible. You can purchase that for $52,000.
Great.
I was very, very upset that a family or even a couple of two can't go at this particular time to get tickets in advance for less than $1,000. That's absolutely. Now, you want to get something down low on the field, maybe even on the Denver side, even on the Green Bay side, you're paying about $1,200 a ticket. And that's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I understand that they're going to come down. I understand that that's not the Denver Broncos. That's everybody. And I understand that it's Denver Broncos versus Green Bay, which at this particular time, Green Bay is a hot team. People like to see Aaron Rodgers and everything. That's not right. That's like paying.
Yeah, well, it really isn't. And that's what it's developed into, that's, I guess, capitalism. If people will pay it,
and that's exactly why they do it, because people will pay it, and that's the sad part about it. And I understand it. I'm not begrudging them of doing that. If they can get that for it, then get that.
I used to go a lot.
I've never been to a professional football game.
Really?
Uh-uh.
I used to go a lot in the late 80s.
Yep.
Denver Broncos Super Bowl times. John Elway was playing, and paid a friend, I think, $42.
$42.
It was kind of top north end, but great, really excellent sight through the goalpost kind of thing. You get a real different look at it than how you watch it on television.
Yeah.
But $42. And had a great,
People who go to the Bronco game say that they have it. Of course, you get in the wrong place and you got to put up with the.
Yeah. Now, that was Mile High. And of the two stadiums, I very much prefer Mile High over
Sports Authority? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's too fancy, too wine and cheese. You should not be able to go in and sit down and be at a bar and watch the game when the weather's bad and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's football. If it's 20 below, you're out watching your team.
Sure.
It's too posh for me.
Sure.
And I, you know, John Elway had mentioned he was a little afraid it would, the new stadium would cater to what he called the wine and cheese crowd.
The
which
people
are not
who can pay $400.
The fans
that
are making noise when
That's
you
right.
want them to make noise. And
yes.
And I don't believe that the few times I've been at Sports Authority that it's as loud as the old stadium
yeah.
was.
Yeah. Anyway, just to think.
That's sad.
One of the things that I did want to bring up, a little bit of a you got to be proud type of thing. I picked up a story today about the state of Indiana.
Yeah, you guys are probably going to be hosting.
Hosting what?
What's his name is probably going to be staying there, right? The Boston Bomber.
Oh, I don't. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
I think he's going to Terre Haute.
Is he going to Terre Haute? Yeah, he's going to go to Terre Haute. That's where he's going to stay. No, this is a much more mundane, but yet crazy.
Yes,
got to be proud. And yet,
uh-huh.
when I read the story, didn't surprise me much. Wanted to share it just with you really quick. I came across this on the Smoking Gun, which we all know is a very reputable. Anyway. And it says a toad licker is locked up on trespass charges. An Indiana man who was licking a toad while dancing by himself on an Indiana sidewalk is locked up after ignoring a trespass warning issued by cops, according to a police report in the great town of LaPorte, Indiana. Anytime I catch something, now this made the drudge. Anytime I catch something that says Indiana, I always like to click on it.
Was it just trespassing or cruelty to animals?
I don't know. LaPorte Police Department officers were called to a bar early Sunday morning when Richard Mullins, 41, refused to leave the property after being escorted outside by security. The barefoot Mullins, again, gotta be proud, the barefoot Mullins, would not provide bouncers with ID when he walked to JJ's Side Out Bar and Grill, cops reported. After being steered out of the business, but before police arrived, Mullins began dancing in the bar's parking lot. The subject then reportedly picked up a toad and was licking it prior to our arrival, of course, to the... And it's just those kind of stories that just warm the cockles of your heart.
Does it say when he's going to announce he's running for
president?
President or state office?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. But anytime I see a story that comes out of the state of Indiana, I always like to click on it, being my home state, and just so proud.
Yeah.
So proud. Of
oh, I'll bet his mother's
of
proud.
Of people.
Oh, it's such a good-looking toad to lick, dear.
Those are the kind of people right there that make people believe what they do about Indiana. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, and you probably haven't, simply because you don't watch a whole lot of TV. But anytime they want to make a TV about just hometown, redneck, struggling, crazy kind of people, they live in Indiana. They live in Indiana. It drives me crazy. The Middle, which is a great show, just normal people.
The what?
The Middle
is
what it's called. And they struggle. And it's always from where they're out of Indiana. And I'm thinking to myself, of all the things that Colorado does, I mean, of all the crazy things that Colorado does,
mm-hmm.
We don't have stories about, you don't have shows about that. You want to pick just a hometown thing? Guess what? Indiana.
In Gary, Indiana, several years, is I know the murder capital of the country.
Well, that's up by Chicago.
As,
yeah. We don't claim Gary.
Gary,
we don't claim
Indiana.
Gary belongs
Gary, Indiana.
Yeah. Gary belongs to Chicago, not to the great state of Indiana, home of Michael Jackson. By the way, I saw that. I just wanted to bring that out, show my pride.
That's
a little
important.
Bit.
Thank you.
It is a little bit every once in a while to bring out those things that says you got to make you proud, and it kind of hooks in a little bit to the Ask George question.
A toad licker.
Not really the story, but just the idea. Of Indiana. Real quick, we want to get to, and I want to play this, and we would be remiss if we didn't do this, but. I had a lot of people who had asked me, pretty sure what you're going to talk about on the Derek and George Show. Want to hear you talk about this on the Derek and George Show. Want to hear what you have to say. And for the past week or so, ever since the tragedy in Charleston, we have heard about this Confederate flag. And it is going back and forth. There were a number of people who came up to me and said, I can't wait to hear what George has to say about the Confederate flag. And obviously, there's been this discussion because Was it Ryan Roof? Roof was his last name. Obviously, was holding a Confederate flag. It once again sparked this discussion about the Confederate flag. It flies over the Capitol in South Carolina. I saw that yesterday, or either today, the governor of Alabama.
Nikki Haley, yeah.
That's the governor of South Carolina. The actual governor, Bentley. Took down all of the Confederate flags that flew over there. Of course, media outlets are using it all over the place. You see the old Bill and Hillary button now from 1992 or whatever, the Confederate flag. They're using it in different ways to talk about this racial divide, this perception of racism. I wanted to share with you a couple of quotes I caught off of Drudge this morning. Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, yeah, great guy. Him.
Had made a statement. And of course, this kind of, it comes a little bit off of Rush Limbaugh, because Rush Limbaugh, in his show a couple days ago, had gone back and talked about the history of the Confederate flag, the Stars and Bars, I guess, as it's called. I did some looking on it to see exactly, because I was lacking on my history of when it had come about and when it had started. Rush Limbaugh had made the comment that the American flag is next. And Louis Farrakhan yesterday, when he was talking to a crowd, had said this: we need to put the American flag down because we've caught as much hell under that as the Confederate flag. In remarks before the Metropolitan AME Church in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, it was reported by D.C.'s WMAL, Farrakhan said, white folks march with you because they don't want you upsetting the city. Of course, he's talking to people in front of the church. They don't give a damn about them nine, is what Farrakhan said. He added that when the police took shooter Dylan Roof to Burger King, they were saying, you did a good job, kill all of them, expletives. Later, he declared, I don't know what the hell the fight is about over the Confederate flag. We need to put down the American flag because we've caught as much hell under that as the Confederate flag. Comments that were met with cheers. He added, who are we fighting today? It's the people that carry the American flag. Of course, not sure that you expect much different from Farrakhan.
No, that's
it's not as if those are comments that you would look at and say, oh my gosh, it's going crazy. Former Virginia, this was interesting to me though. I had caught another comment on the other side of former Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who is a Southern Democrat, and he's contemplating a run for president, and he came out. And he encouraged people on Wednesday to understand the complicated history of the Civil War, were his quotes. He said, when calling for the removal of the Confederate flag across the country, this is an emotional time, he said, and we all need to think through these issues with a care that recognizes the need for change, but also respects the complicated history of the Civil War. That's what he put on his Facebook. Really quick, and we've got a few minutes till we go to commercial. I don't know if you caught it yesterday. I know that you went to see Mary Poppins here in our local children's theater.
Mary Poppins.
And so I don't know if you caught the O'Reilly Factor yesterday or heard anything that Bill O'Reilly said yesterday. I want to play it. It's real. It's about 6 or 7 minutes. And Jimbo, as soon as we're done with that clip, we'll go to break and we'll talk about it when we come back. I want to play. I caught this yesterday live and wanted to bring on. This is Bill O'Reilly and the O'Reilly Factor, and he's talking about this whole idea of the, not so much the Confederate flag, but now how we have gone from this idea of white privilege to white supremacy, which is what everybody is talking about. I want you to listen to it, and Jimbo, as soon as that's done, we'll take a break. We'll come back because I also want to talk to you about what people are saying of getting rid of the Confederate flag. Why don't we get rid of things like Gone with the Wind, all those types of things. As soon as we finish that, we'll go straight into a break, Jimbo. And then we'll talk about when we come back. This is Bill O'Reilly talking on the O'Reilly Factor last night.
Demonizing America as a racist nation. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. It is an amazing thing to watch. The USA has gone from being the land of the free and the home of the brave to a country dominated by white supremacy. No longer is it white privilege, now it's supremacy. The allegation that white Americans are actively trying to keep black Americans down. That is what the far left is now putting out there, largely unchallenged by a cowardly media. You hear the insane rhetoric on cable news nearly every night. It is an outrageous Tower of Babel.
We are a white supremacist society. We are a society that on its face values white people, what they do, and their body, their integrity, more than people of color.
Is racism built into this country? Is it in the hearts of many Americans?
Oh, I definitely think that's the case.
I would like to know if the white churches in this country are hanging their heads in shame today. But you know, the shame isn't enough because they can't repent without restitution. When are we going to have reparation for slavery, for Jim Crow, for the new Jim Crow? Unless you give back, there is no forgiveness for you.
I'm deeply afraid that we are still, as a country, mired in prejudice and racism.
The problem is we can't eliminate these types of incidents if we don't get at the source of the problem. And the source isn't individual crazy people. The source of this is white supremacy.
Now, once again, that stuff is being put out to the entire world with little skepticism on the part of the American media that's afraid to challenge it. They're afraid because if they do challenge, they may be labeled anti-black bigots. So the media in the USA is intimidated. The only TV network that does not accept the blatant dishonesty that America is a white supremacist nation is Fox News. And some of us on this channel get viciously attacked for standing up for the truth. Last night on my computer, the Yahoo News Service carried anti-Fox defamation from all kinds of crazy left-wing websites. It was brutal. Yahoo just throwing this garbage out there with no balance, giving these smear merchants a worldwide platform. You rarely see any conservative points of view on Yahoo. Where's Daily Caller? Where's Breitbart? Where's WorldNet Daily? Where's Newsmax? In the world of Yahoo News, they don't exist. Yet every anti-Fox statement Jon Stewart makes is headlined. It's disgraceful. So that's why these anti-American race baiters spew their invective with glee. Because there's little downside for them, with the exception of terrible ratings. As Talking Points has reported, the no-spin truth is that there are anti-black bigots in America. Of course there are. But to say the entire country is defined by them is a gross lie. That would be like saying that African Americans are all defined by Farrakhan or the Black Panthers. Most Americans, no matter what color they are decent, fair-minded people. But there are problems in the African-American precincts, especially in the inner city. However, the problems have little to do with white people, rather a corrosive culture that does not confront child neglect and antisocial behavior on the streets. That's what's driving poverty and dysfunction. Let me give you a recent example. In Detroit, on Saturday, 12 black Americans shot at a party. 12. Did you hear anything about that? That included 3 women. One person was killed. The likely perpetrators, black gang members. Chief Craig and most other law enforcement officers in this nation well understand it's not white on black crime that's the problem. It's black on black crime that is causing social chaos. While the terrorist Dylann Roof is now a huge international embarrassment to America, Roof is an exception, not the norm. A deranged young racist who murders 9 people is a terrorist. Thank God this kind of thing is rare in America. The truth is there's no organized effort to harm black people by white people. That doesn't exist here. The real racism is looking away from what is really harming black Americans, the root cause of poverty. And as Talking Points has reported over and over and over again, that is the dissolution of the African-American traditional family, chaos on the streets in poor neighborhoods, and an educational system that does not demand the same standards of achievement that are demanded in the white neighborhoods. In many schools, if black students misbehave or fail, nothing is done. Authorities either look the other way or socially promote them to get them the hell out of the school. That's racism. All American students should be treated the same way. And the excuse that slavery, Jim Crow, and other historical injustices should now define how black citizens are treated is insane. Barack Obama, a poor boy of mixed race, rose up with little parental help and became the president. Did these anti-American folks who are exploiting Charleston miss that? Just today, Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, a man of Indian descent, announced he's running for president. Dr. Ben Carson, who overcame poverty to become a brilliant surgeon, is also running for president. And the far-left smear merchants have the nerve, the gall to say America's a white supremacist nation and the press does nothing about it? Fox News is attacked when we report the truth? Well, you want a war, you got a war. I'm not going to sit here any longer and take this garbage. People who lie, who run the country down, who are racist themselves, are going to be called out right here on the Factor. Summing up, critical mass has been reached. In the real world, America remains the country that provides the most opportunity to the most people. That's why millions of folks are trying to get in here, many of them people of color. American taxpayers fund trillions of dollars worth of entitlements for poor people. Our hard-earned dollars are given to folks who need help, and we're glad to do it. American businesses actively seek good, competent minority employees. The American Congress has passed law after law after law to ensure that all Americans have equal opportunity to pursue happiness. As I said last night, every country has racist elements within it. You're always going to have that. You're always going to have terrible incidents like Ferguson and Baltimore and Charleston. But every stat and every poll say the same thing. There is not an epidemic of racism in the United States of America. That is the truth. And the liars who distort the record are now on notice. You will be held to account.
If you watch a game, it's fun. If you play it, it's recreation. But if you work at it, it's golf. A golf course should aspire to generate as much energy as it consumes. And 4 miles north of Marion, Indiana is a golf course that does just that. 6,690 yards of pure energy. Arbor Trace Golf Club is a course that's beauty is matched only by its bite. A course that can test not only the steel of one's nerves, but the metal of their irons. It's a course for the beginner who desires to learn the game as well as the player who is ready to challenge it. So whether you're looking to play just for the fun of the game or the opportunity to work hard on it, Arbor Trace Golf Club is the course for you. Give Arbor Trace Golf Club a shot, because in golf, the most important shot you ever make is the next one.
Hello to all of Derek's listeners. Thanks, Derek, for giving me time to share my heart's passion, encouraging cancer, long-term illness patients, and their families. Gilead is an outreach that encourages over 2,400 people in 38 states. Our goal is to bring hope and help to those on the journey through the unknowns of treatment, family stress, and spiritual questions. One such story is Eric, whose senior year in high school was interrupted by the cancer that he was diagnosed with, interrupting a three-sport high school year. It changed his life and his perspective. Today, Eric's family oversees a foundation helping to find a cure. We're currently in our 15th year. We'd love to have you as a partner, either as a volunteer or a gift financially. Look for us on Facebook at Gilead Ministries.
Stay connected to what matters most with high-speed service from Seacom. For the home, we offer access where you need it most. Whether you're looking for high-speed internet or an in-home voice package or both, CCOM has your house covered. Send emails, download music, and surf the web with the fastest service in Southeast Colorado. Our two-way wireless connections offer download speeds of up to 15 megabytes, but with a fiber connection, the sky is the limit. For the business, CCOM offers voice plans, broadband internet, DSL, and Ethernet circuits. Our fully integrated Metro Ethernet platform segregates your data traffic logically at the switch, avoiding the latency of multiple routers and quality of service overhead. With only a single router between you and our nationwide backbone carriers, you really will experience the internet at the speed of light. We also offer point-to-point data links to connect all of your business locations. And if you're looking for carrier-grade data transport or dark fiber, look no further than CCOM's extensive privately owned fiber network. We own and maintain our own network with more than 1,200 miles of fiber and growing throughout Southeast Colorado. So whether you're looking for dark fiber, for cable, a dedicated corporate network, or carrier-grade data transport, CCOM has the answers. Visit us at CCOM.net or call us at 1-800-657-7149. CCOM, world-class communications right in your backyard.
Energy approached country musician Colt Ford to produce an energy drink. They knew immediately it had to be as real and authentic as Colt himself. Knuckle Energy's Southern-style sweet tea is created using a traditional sweet tea recipe that has been passed down in Georgia from generation to generation. Using a Southern tea blend as the basis, as did the Ford family and many others, what Knuckle Energy has created is a product that has a fresh, light lemon zest with an energy supplement. To make this product as authentic as possible, Knuckle Energy has crafted a product that is 100% American made, just like Colt Ford. So at the end of the day, if you find yourself lacking that energy that you need, don't knuckle under.
Chicken and biscuit.
Knuckle up. Knuckle Energy drink. Find it at a come and go convenience store near you. You're listening to Derek and George Live on the road less traveled, Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Derek and George Live Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the road less traveled. Before we went to break, we heard Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor talking about this whole idea of this new rhetoric that's coming all over our society and all over mostly liberal media about this whole idea of white supremacy. I had mentioned to you before we went to the break that there was an article out of the New York Post talking about the idea of movies like Gone with the Wind should go the way of the Confederate flag, that we should begin to get those things down. I guess, first of all, just curious, initial reaction to what O'Reilly said.
I did not hear anything that he said that I would disagree with.
That you would disagree with.
And in fact, I very much, the biggest part of it for me is true racism is treating people differently because of their color.
Sure.
And if you do not hold blacks or other people of color because they are black, you let behavior in a school get away with because mm-hmm. you're afraid you'll be labeled a racist because you do something, then you are racist because you're giving them a different standard than a white kid.
Right.
And so the very fact we have a black president, albeit an atrocious one,
mm-hmm.
elected twice, yeah, we're not a race. You know, is there racism? Yes, absolutely. Like you said, there always will be. But as a matter of around the world, we're a great country, and it's the people past Martin Luther King, the race baiters, the
mm-hmm.
Farrakhan,
mm-hmm.
that have actually, you know, black, the country is on the rise for racial tolerance, and we've grown so much during my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
and these people are bringing it back down.
And I think that's
my opinion.
I think that's exactly right. And you know, from the other side, of course, what they'll say is they're shedding light on it. We're actually talking about it and addressing it in a way that perhaps they didn't do it back in the 60s. I don't.
It's a bunch of garbage. This reparation stuff for our history of the what happened in slavery times. You can't pay for that. We can't pay for I can't pay for what my ancestors did 150 years ago.
Right.
That's not justice. That's ridiculousness.
Yeah. And I think, and my son and I were talking about this a little bit, both of us being people who enjoy history. I think what's happening is on both sides of the aisle, we blame each other for this, but I truly think that it is. I think what's happening is we're picking and choosing. We may not be rewriting, but we're definitely picking the parts that we like when we talk about what actually happened in history. People don't like to do that. I think because we've done such a poor job of teaching history to our next generation, and as it gets further and further away. You say things like slavery, and we have a general overall idea of what happened, but we don't know the intricacies of it. I think that probably people would say that down south with the Confederate flag. To real quickly hit this whole idea of the New York Post article of now we need to get rid of things like Gone with the Wind. I'm not sure where that stops and where we say, okay, that's just insane, and yet not address some of the things that are going on. I watched, of course, one of the big things that made news this week was our president on a podcast in a garage, which I was very happy to see him doing a podcast in the garage because that's what we do. We do podcasts, I believe. Either through Blog Talk Radio or through other things, are kind of the information of the future. And, of course, using the N-word and then this discussion on the different media outlets of whether or not that was appropriate as the president of the United States, whether it was appropriate as a black man. And to hear those arguments, I was taken back that we have split the hairs of that it's okay, or that society has deemed that as a negative, awful, do not use word. And we have some of those. And yet it can be split that it's okay for some people to say it, but not okay for other people to say it. And I don't get that. I don't understand that. And it's very easy for individuals to say you don't get that because you're white. I know of no other word that is used like that where people embrace it as a sense of trying to deal with the pain of what's going on and saying I can use that word but you can't because I'm black and you're white. I don't get that. And maybe someday I will, but
I don't think you will.
I don't think I don't get it because I don't relate to it. I think I don't get it because it's not right. I think that's why I don't get it. I don't get it because you look at it and say, that's just about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And of course, then that makes me racist. I mean, how many times have we, as Derek and George, received letters that has said, you're racist, you're racist. And of course, I can't figure that out. But that is the catchphrase.
I think it's because we criticize Obama.
I think so. I think so. And it's gone to this point.
Which has nothing to do with his race. But
exactly. Does the Confederate flag mean some horrible things to people? Absolutely it does. So does the number 420. So does the phrase 18 words. Those things all mean something to white supremacist racists, but that doesn't mean that it means it to me. That doesn't mean that I embrace it. Should the Confederate flag come down, G? Should we take it down from the capitals in South Carolina and Alabama? From capitals?
Yeah, I have no problem with that decision. I will say I think if Abe Lincoln had not been assassinated, that flag probably would have not had the allure that it has had for
sure.
For time. And it means way more to, I'm sure, to Southerners. You know, it is not a symbol of slavery. There's a lot of Southern pride and values instilled within that flag.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say, we are the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
and we are 50 United States, and we have the U.S. flag, and we each have our individual
states.
Flags.
Yeah.
We are not a Confederate state. The Confederacy was defeated. The flag should be gone. I agree with that. Now,
yeah.
If you want, as a individual, I have no problem with you flying that at your home.
Sure.
If you want to fly the Nazi flag, you have a right as a person to do that.
Right.
Realizing the
implications
of what you are, what your behavior is
yeah.
is going to acknowledge. Ironically, the very fact that this kid wanted to, you know. Being a white racist.
Right. Start a race war.
Start,
yeah.
He actually, because of love of this church, the mm-hmm. beautiful forgiveness and loveness, mm-hmm. loving of Christians.
Yep. He picked the wrong person.
We forgive
he couldn't have picked
they handled
worst
part. It. They handled it as Christ wanted. And look what's happening. Perhaps a symbol for people like him.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be gone. Now, will it be it this was a great cause for a bunch of people to riot. Oh,
you're right.
What? And what did they do? They turned a horrible situation
mm-hmm.
into a statement of love and forgiveness
mm-hmm.
and what Christ taught us to do. And so for the people in that community, I just hearts and prayers out to you all. And yeah.
So
that's my thoughts. I think I've always thought it should have been gone anyway from establishment.
I am in total, absolute, 100% agreement with you.
Really?
The United States flag and your state flag. That's what should fly above your government buildings. That's what it should do. It takes away everything else. I may want the Christian flag to fly above the state capitol. We can't do that. And if I can't have my state, or my Christian flag, then you shouldn't be allowed to have your flag fly above. And if you can't have your flag, then I shouldn't be allowed to have my flag. The state flag belongs to the state for here, the state of Colorado. The United States represents all of us. Those are the flags that should fly. Take everything else down, just like you said. Are people going to use that? People have used the United States flag in support of the United States, in opposition of the United States, to set and burn it. People have used flags, the Don't Tread on Me, the number of flags that flew through the battalions and through the Civil War, through all of our wars, the different flags that represent things. For me, over the Capitol, it should represent our nation. And it should represent our state. Take the rest of it down. If you want to fly that at your house, then by golly, the United States flag right. and what it and how it was made and what is based in this country gives you the right to do that.
Yeah.
You get
you
the,
can fly the flag of
and God bless
Nova
America.
Scotia,
yeah.
Bavaria, Mexico,
yeah.
if you want.
Right.
You know, you have the right to do that in our country, and that's the beauty. But the Confederacy does not exist.
Yeah. And the danger, I think, is what happens is when we begin to say to ourselves, this was attached to this, therefore it can no longer be. To the idea
yeah, yeah.
of getting rid
I,
of Gone with the Wind and never running that again on AMC, and I'm sure that there will be, you know, we see Walmart who says we're not going to fly, we're not going to sell anything of the Confederacy. Yet you can pick up an Iranian flag. You can pick up a Castro shirt Hugo Chavez, you can pick up all those kinds of things. But at this particular moment, the Confederacy is hot topic. We're pulling that out.
Right. And I don't think as a matter, you know, you look at this and say, oh, cause effect, he did this and that.
Right.
I just think in general, the Confederate flag should, for my lifetime, should not be a state-flown flag.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about this, but we do want to get real quickly to the Ask George question. We had a little girl that comes from the state of Indiana, and she's got a question for George.
I got a question for you.
And it may take you a little bit, as we only have a few minutes left in our show, 9 minutes. But it says, Dear Derek and George, I'm going to be a senior at Indiana University, and I love your show. Last year, me and my roommates had Derek and George Live posters hanging in our dorm rooms. We love to listen to you guys talk politics, but we also crack up over George guessing birthdays. I was wondering if George could tell me what his perfect day would look like from beginning to end. Love you both, but this time I have to give the nod to Derek, Indiana Rules. Indiana Rules.
Bravo! Well, that's a little touche back from the gal said, I love you both,
that's
but
right.
Kind of love George more.
The lick-and-toed guy and all, Indiana.
Lily,
M. from Indiana University, wants to know what your perfect day looks like from beginning to end. I get, when do you get up? What do you do? Your perfect day that you could sit back and say and know that we've got about 8 minutes left in our show, but the perfect George's perfect day, what would that be?
Well, it's hard to say. You can't be on vacation because your life isn't on vacation.
That's right.
My perfect day would probably, be on the beach in the Riviera Maya. Caribbean.
Average day here in La Junta, Colorado.
Okay.
What would that look like?
Wake up, cup of coffee on my front porch.
Okay.
It's only going to get to 80 today. But it's 60, low 60s, and I'm enjoying the fresh morning. I got up, made my coffee with the sunrise.
Early riser.
I love that morning time.
Yeah.
Okay, read my morning paper.
Sure.
Perfect day. Okay.
What next?
I meet my buddy on the tennis court. Mm-hmm. It's not a zillion degrees yet.
That's right. We can go out there and play a little tennis.
A couple sets, maybe.
Yeah.
I win both.
Absolutely.
That's a good day.
Not sure that's the perfect day. That seems to be a normal day.
I like that.
Yeah.
That'd be delightful.
Then it's 10 or 11-ish or 11-ish now.
Then,
what now?
Okay. Then my daughter calls, says, hey, Dad, we're going to bring you over lunch.
Ooh, that's
How about
nice.
Some... Taco Bell or Subway's.
Yeah.
And so I get to see my grandkids for about an hour, much longer than that. Then you're getting into the work.
Yeah.
You know?
Then the perfect day begins to slide.
Uh-huh. Then it starts to slide because you're chasing little nose miners around.
Miners.
Oh, those crazy little miners.
That's right.
Okay. And then, I get to go out and, my afternoons, then I'm starting at 1, and I get to do some framing.
Okay.
I'm framing, building something, and so for 3 hours, and I don't use an air nailer.
Sure,
I get to use a framing hammer and hammer the old-fashioned way, build walls, frame, and I get a build for about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
It's outside. It's only 80 degrees.
Sure.
I've had consumed 2 cigars during this time.
Uh-huh. Any alcoholic beverages?
My wife
on there?
Comes home early at 4 o'clock.
Now we're getting into
and offers me something she doesn't offer me anymore. It's called a little afternoon delight. Ooh, afternoon delight.
Okay.
And uncharacteristically, I have some energy at this.
All right,
so
that's
moment
from,
in time.
So that's from 4 p.m.
to
4:05.
That's from 4:05. Give me
right.
a couple more all minutes there.
Right. 4:05.
So then at 4:05,
sure.
We're sitting on
you're
the porch
exhausted.
Eating strawberries. Yes, I'm totally exhausted, and I consume one alcoholic beverage.
Yes,
which is my beer. I use
sure.
my beer.
Absolutely.
And then my wife. What do we do?
We're exhausted. You play a game of cribbage and go to bed.
Oh, we do. Yes, we play cribbage. You know, my wife does not like cribbage like as well as I do,
sure.
and yet she tends to beat me at that game,
yeah,
and I beat her at a game she likes better. And so,
yeah.
But anyway, she says, "Hey, how about some cribbage?" We play cribbage, and I just annihilate
it's
her
scathing,
for one game.
Scathing,
scathing.
Loss.
Yes, she has
scathing
a scathing
loss.
Yes. Then miraculously we go play putt-putt, but we don't have a putt-putt
no.
in our town. So,
no.
But anyway,
miraculously,
and we
someone
go,
has built a putt-putt course
yeah,
in your
we
backyard.
We go for an hour and a half in the beautiful 80-degree temperature,
yeah.
play putt-putt,
putt.
And then we go eat seafood
mm-hmm.
somewhere or Mexican food
sure
right in our town more Mexican
yeah.
food and then oh
come home and watch Game
okay,
of Thrones
no,
and
I,
that's it
well I was gonna say perfect day in you know in my unreal world then
yeah.
something else happens again
sure
but that, no,
yeah.
that's no way
yeah.
so
yeah
yeah
this is just a perfect
actually,
day not a miraculous day not
yeah.
that no miracles,
no miracles
here.
Happen
no miracles here
so then I'm going, yeah, then I get to go upstairs, watch Game of Thrones, pass out and go to sleep. And,
that's it right there. That's
it,
a fantastic.
It's kind of dull, Lily,
Lily,
but that's my.
Lily, that's yours.
That's my fantastic day.
Perfect
and
day, man. He's sticking to it.
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. And I'm sticking to it.
I think you used up your miracle there on the golf on the putt-putt golf being built in your backyard. I'm not sure
yeah.
if you want to submit a question.
There's
you can
a
do
lot
that.
Of miracles in
right.
that day.
You can just go to DerekandGeorge@gmail.com or you can just go to DerekandGeorge.com. Scroll down, click on the Ask George question. We will try and get it on the air. We are out of time. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you, you can listen every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time to Derek and George Live. So for everybody here at The Road Less Traveled, everybody here at Derek and George, for Jimbo, who does a great job in the producer's booth, for George, myself, don't know what the weather's going to be like where you're at. But as always here on Derek and George Live, sun's out,
guns out.
We'll see you next week.